Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, wildfires continue to burn in South Georgia. A large indoor market featuring black-owned shops prepares to close, and new billboards aim to connect military veterans to abortion services in states where it's still legal.
If one person sees a billboard and is able to get the care, the counseling that they need, that's a win for me.
Today is Friday, April 24th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Authorities in southeast Georgia's Brantley County are ordering residents to stay at home at night while a massive wildfire tears through the area. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Firefighters have been battling the blaze for days, cutting fire lines and dumping fire retardants from aircraft. Brantley County Manager Joey Kasem says residents still need to be ready to leave at a moment's notice, and for now, a curfew is in place.
The curfew will be enforced by all law enforcement. It will go from 8:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. in the mornings. That will remain in effect until this event is under control.
The Southern Area Incident Management Team arrived on Friday morning. They're part of a multi-agency wildfire response group across 13 southern states. Governor Brian Kemp is also making a visit to the area. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Reproductive health care advocates have launched an ad campaign geared toward veterans who need abortion services but can't get them at the VA. The billboard outside the Atlanta VA Medical Center, created by Bridget Alliance, a group that helps people access abortion, and Vet Voice Foundation, aims to connect veterans with resources to help them travel to states where abortion is still legal. The billboards read, "We've got your six," which is a common military phrase meaning we've got your back. Last year, the VA issued a rule that eliminates abortion care and counseling from the VA's medical benefits package. Janessa Goldbeck is a Marine Corps veteran and CEO of Vet Voice Foundation.
To know that there are people out there who might need help and don't know where to seek it or to access it. If one person sees a billboard and is able to get the care, the counseling that they need, that's a win for me.
The organizations are running similar ad campaigns near VA clinics in New Mexico and Virginia. The billboard in Atlanta will stay up through this weekend. A large indoor market featuring black-owned shops that opened to lots of attention east of Atlanta in 2022 is closing, GPB's Orlando Montoya reports.
The new Black Wall Street Market on Thursday announced its closing sale, providing no reasons for the closure. Market managers did not respond to requests for comment. But former market tenant, former bookstore owner Cynthia Chambry, says the market promised traffic-generating anchor stores, but instead turned into mostly an artist's gallery.
There was supposed to be a organic grocery store, a holistic pharmacy, a beauty salon, a barber shop. So when those anchors did not manifest, you know, people would come to see what businesses were there and, you know, some of the artwork, people would come and then leave.
Chambry left the market 2 years ago and transitioned from retail to institutional bookselling. The market was founded by business icon and philanthropist Bill Allen, who died in 2024. It was inspired by a historic area in Tulsa, Oklahoma, known as Black Wall Street, that was home to a prosperous community before it was destroyed in a 1921 massacre. The final weekend of the new Black Wall Street Market is expected to include music, food, and discounts. For GPB News, I'm Orlando Montoya.
Three professors at Emory University have filed a lawsuit claiming the school violated its free speech policies during a 2024 campus protest over the Israel-Hamas war. The civil lawsuit filed yesterday demands the private school repay the three for money spent defending themselves against misdemeanor charges that were later dismissed. They're also seeking punitive damages. Police arrested 28 people in aggressively breaking up the protest. An Emory spokesperson says the university believes the lawsuit is without merit. A Republican congressman from Georgia has introduced legislation that would expand the borders of Washington, D.C. and cost Virginia Democratic voters. The move comes after Virginia voters approved a redistricting referendum this week that could net Democrats a 10-to-1 seat advantage in the Virginia House delegation. Suwannee Congressman Rich McCormick yesterday introduced the Make D.C. Square Again Act. It would undo the 19th century return of the southwestern part of the district to the state of Virginia. The measure is unlikely to pass, but it's the latest partisan salvo in tit-for-tat gerrymandering efforts in a closely divided House ahead of the midterm elections. Federal prosecutors have charged the founder of a Georgia investment firm with wire fraud in connection with an alleged $140 million Ponzi scheme. The collapse of the company, First Liberty Building and Loan, rocked many in the upper echelons of the Georgia Republican Party. The company's politically connected founder, Edwin Brandt Frost IV, allegedly scammed clients, family, and friends with illusory promises of sizable returns on investments. He was formally charged in an Atlanta courtroom yesterday and released on bail after entering a plea of not guilty. Residents in North Fulton County now have access to health and human services closer to home. GPB's Ellen Eldridge reports on a new facility that officially opened earlier this month.
Residents in North Fulton who previously had to travel to Sandy Springs or downtown Atlanta now have their own Board of Health, vital records, and support for seniors. Pamela Rochelle is the chief operating officer for Fulton County Government. She says among the services, there are two programs for those 55 and older.
One is a senior center, which will have a host of activities from arts classes, fitness classes, everything you need to remain engaged in the community and keep your body and mind and your spirit healthy.
A state-funded behavioral health crisis center is also planned to be open in about 2 years on the 24-acre campus. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Atlanta could host the Democratic National Convention for the first time since 1988. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Atlanta is one of five finalist cities bidding to host the convention where the Democratic nominee for president will be selected. Representatives from the Democratic National Committee, including Chairman Ken Martin, visited Atlanta this week to scout locations for the event, including State Farm Arena and the World Congress Center. Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens says that Georgia's swing state status makes the state's capital city the right choice.
We talk a lot in this party about meeting voters where they are. Atlanta is literally where they are, culturally, generationally, aspirationally.
Philadelphia, Boston, Denver, and Chicago are also in the running. Atlanta was also a finalist for the 2024 convention, but the DNC ultimately chose Chicago for the event. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
Giant pandas will be returning to Georgia. Zoo Atlanta and the China Wildlife Conservation Association say the two pandas, a male and a female, will be part of a decade-long partnership between the two organizations. The announcement comes amid plans for diplomacy between the U.S. and China. President Donald Trump plans to visit the country in May. Beijing had long used pandas as part of its international soft power. Zoo Atlanta had four pandas until 2024 when they left for China, ending a 25-year program. The organizations didn't say when the pandas would arrive. One of the most iconic nightclubs in Savannah on Monday will close at the location that defined the business for nearly four decades. Club One Jefferson at One Jefferson Street plans to move to a new building a block away after years of development pressure and ownership changes. Longtime club manager Travis Cole says the bar, dance club, and theater gained notoriety after being featured in a popular 1990s book and movie.
It has been so bittersweet. You know, this whole month has been a month of lasts because we host various performance troupes, burlesque troupes, theater troupes. So it's been an emotional roller coaster.
The Lady Chablis was a drag queen and one of the most recognizable celebrities to come from Savannah in the late 20th century. She died in 2016. Club One has been a staple and safe haven for Savannah's LGBTQ community since it opened in 1988. It has hosted not only drag shows and dance parties, but also community and fundraising events. Coles says it'll be about a month before the club opens in its new location. In sports, the Braves return home tonight to begin a three-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Yesterday, pitcher J.R. Ritchie made a memorable Major League debut for the Atlanta Braves. Washington's James Wood homered on Ritchie's first pitch, but the 22-year-old right-hander rebounded to lead the Braves to a 7-2 victory over the Nationals. Ritchie, selected 35th in the 2022 amateur draft, allowed just one more run over seven innings, striking out seven and walking two. Braves manager Walt Weiss praised Ritchie's control and resilience. The Braves will decide soon if he'll make another big league start. Tomorrow, the Braves will induct longtime coach and manager Brian Snitker into the Braves Hall of Fame in a special pregame ceremony at Truist Park. Braves Hall of Famers representing several eras of Braves baseball are expected to be on hand, including Tom Glavine, Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones, and Dale Murphy. The ceremony will thank Snitker for his impact on the team with tribute videos, speeches, a jacket, and a plaque presentation. That's a wrap on a busy week of news. Thank you so much for tuning in to Georgia Today. We'll hope you'll come back on Monday. Remember to subscribe to this podcast. That way we will pop up automatically in your feed and you won't miss a thing. And remember, too, you can check gpb.org/news for any updates to the stories you heard on the podcast today. You can also check out new headlines as they are written by our fabulous team of reporters. And if you've got feedback or maybe a story you think one of our reporters should look into, let us know by email. Our address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We will see you next week.